Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and we interrupt your current broadcast. Praise God. I had a very special guest come by the station, and I could not get away because I didn't want to get away. I wanted to hang out with him as long as I could and visit with him and just see what was going on in his life and his ministry. And just to talk to him. You ever have those kind of friends that just really encourage you? Just really make you excited about what God is doing and excited about how God is doing things. And just, you know, sometimes we just need someone that we can sound off and say, this is what I want to see God do in my life. And and it's always good. And I have very, very close friends that I can name them for you. Eric Scott, Malcolm Burton. Anytime I call them, Bruce Parks, Gerald Davis. Anytime I call these guys, I can talk to them. But when you're in front of them and you're hanging out with them, you just get more excited about faith, more excited about what God is doing, more excited about how God is doing it, and more excited about what the power of God can do. I tell you what, there's something that I want to announce, and I'm gonna let you know, because y'all listen to us faithfully, and you're part of the vision. You wouldn't be doing this if you weren't listening. Praise God. I do this in faith, and I trust God will bring in faith the things that we need to make this broadcast possible every single time we're here. I'm grateful that we have a space. I'm grateful that we have our studios here in Atascocita. But we're needing to get bigger territory. Can you believe that for me? We need bigger territory. Bigger territory because we have bigger dreams. So I want to have you with me right now, praying and believing that God is going to do some amazing, amazing, amazing things with what we're believing Him for. I am believing Him for some amazing things. I need a building for our television and broadcasting and our movie production teams. We need our own building. I want to be the Tyler Perry of Houston, my friends. I want to have my own studios. Tyler Perry has a huge, huge place out there in Atlanta. It's his own studios and stuff. We're going to build to that. Praise God. That is my vision, to build to that and see God bring that to pass. For now, we need a big warehouse, and we need enough rooms for our studios and our offices. And this year is the year we're going to see these things come to happen. Come to pass. We're going to see that come to pass. Hey, pray for me pray for me all the time. But pray for me a month from now. We will be in Kenya at this date, this time. Our conference will be starting a month from now. I'll be on the platform around this time already, 6 hours ahead. Oh, no, 8 hours ahead. Or is it 10? I forget. Anyway, we'll be doing some kind of conference and some kind of preaching. And next month. So we need your support on that. If you have not, please, and if you feel to give and give again, go to davidyanezministries.com, davidyanezministries.com, or revmedianetwork.com. There is a banner on the top home page of each place, of each of our websites. You can click on that, go to PayPal, and send a donation. If you don't do PayPal, it's not for you. You can also just send a gift to David Yanez Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. Again, that's P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. And you can send us a gift to help us. Any gift amount will help. Praise God. Don't ever think you can't give because you don't have hundreds to give. $10, $25, $5. Anything you give will be a blessing and will be a blessing to someone in the mission field that we go to. Whatever we raise, despite our expenses, we leave an offering. So whatever's left over, we pretty much leave with the people out there. So I want you to know that this is not a self-gain thing. This is not something that we just do because we want to. God has a purpose. I've given you an opportunity to be a blessing into something very special that I'm about to announce right now. Whatever you give and however you give and however you do it, you are going to be a blessing to something spiritually that God is birthing out there in Africa right now. It is going to be the focal point of where we do our mission work globally in a streaming level. God has took two things that I do very well, and He's put them together for a mission that no other is doing at this time. God has instructed me to build a global, evangelism, missions, broadcasting hub here at our studios. The room that I've been working on so bad to create HD quality video and everything, God has given me the purpose for it now. My friend just said, sounds like the ark, like Noah. You just start building. You don't know what you're doing. You just start building. And I tell you what, I have been working on that place for 6 months. And just myself, by myself, doing the things I do, making it happen. But I did not know exactly what we're going to do. I was going to do something like create our own TVN type style. And you have all heard me say that. And create a video place that we can bring people in to record. And there's so much of the stuff like that. But God had a bigger purpose. Praise God. He has a bigger plan. And he now showed me the plan that he has. And that plan is to create a global mission broadcasting network that we're going to be able to broadcast to the mission field. High quality, full size picture of us here in the studio. No minister, not all ministers can go overseas, praise God. Not at all times and every minute. But I'm going to create a site, a place where they can broadcast from here on our Rev Media TV platform straight to the mission field. And then the mission field is going to broadcast straight back on a separate stream. That way the minister will see the crowds and see the interpreter. And then the mission field will see the minister. And I'll be there personally. So as they're preaching and stuff, I'll be able to get up there and do my part that I normally do at each of the crusades. This is going to be something that God is planting on this next trip. So you have an opportunity to give and help us with this very first seed to do this with. And I pray that you become a blessing. Pray that you make things happen. We have Michael Reynolds. Michael Reynolds, Sheltered Life, taken off the streets, up to the streets, or let's see, taking it to the streets. Sheltered Life, taking it to the streets. He's coming up next, and we're going to give you some more highlights about him and everything in just a few minutes. We'll be back with him. But I just want to encourage you. That is the announcement I want to give you. So that's why we need a bigger space. That's why we need a bigger building. I pray that God blesses you through this broadcast. It's not me. I was telling my friends that was here, Mr. Eric Scott, I was telling him that I don't do this for man. It doesn't make sense that I go to a convention and no one's paying me and I'm getting recordings and videos and make being a blessing. It doesn't make sense that I pay all my own way and I just shake a few hands and do as many interviews as I can and I come back and I create my own shows with it. It don't make sense to man. But it makes sense to God. It makes sense to God that I faithfully serve him in the gifts that he's given me and that he makes the increase. One minister said, well, you should get paid for what you do. You're providing a service. Well, that is true. But the greater payment is from God. When God sees my heart and sees what I'm doing, he's going to give me the funds that I need as I sow these seeds. You just got to trust God. Trust that he has everything for you in his plan. Trust that he is the one that has your heart, has your mind, has your soul, and has every single action in your life he has a plan for. Don't think of things as a mistake or as problems. Think of things as we just got to keep trusting God. We just got to trust God in what he does no matter what. No matter what. I am getting our commercial ready. We're going to be right back with Michael Reynolds. And just this, I believe it's Michael Reynolds. Is it? Jeremy Reynolds. I'm sorry. I'm like running through my commercials. Anyway, we'll be right back in just 1 second. Well, I guess we're not getting any sound from this thing. Because I got the wrong one. There we go. Now we'll be right back.
Do you know that you are unique? That you
are one of a kind. Hi, I'm Terry Squires, and I'm here to tell you today that there will never, ever, ever, ever be another you. God made you special, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he wants a one-to-one relationship with you. Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6 states, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Do you ever wonder if God knows you? If he really sees you or loves you like he saw Abraham, Moses, David, or all the other people in the Bible he chose to do great things? Do you ever wonder if he really cares about the little things in your life or the chaos that surrounds you? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, your host for today, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will impact your life and the lives around you. So what is One Impact Live? It's all about him and the power of one. There is one God, you are one person, and you have one impact. Do you know that by sharing your faith to one person, you can reach thousands? Today I'm talking about the one true God. Who is he and what does he want from you? In today's society, we have to be so careful. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And we don't want to offend somebody else's belief. I've heard this phrase so many times. Terry, we have the same God. We just worship him differently. I hate to break the great news. No, we don't. We do not have the same God. I have many friends that have a different faith than mine, and I respect them. But more important, I love them. But we only have one true God, and he is the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the creator of the universe, the creator of life, the creator of your life and everything in it. He is the one and only God. Listen, he tells us in Deuteronomy 5, 6 through 7, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You know, a lot of people ask me, Terry, why are you so sure? What makes you think you're right? You don't have to take my word. Ask him. Ask God to show you who is real. And I guarantee you, I promise you, he will. And when he does, your life will change forever. Now, I love the scripture, Psalm 139:13-16. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So does he know you? Does he see you? Does he love you? Oh, my friend, yes, he knows you intimately. He sees what you're going through, and he loves you so much. It doesn't matter where you are, where you've been, or what mistakes you've made. Our one true God has a plan and purpose for your life, a life to impact others. So what does he want from you? He just wants to love you. He just wants a one-to-one relationship with you. He just wants to be your father. It's just that simple. Now, if you have any comments or questions, contact me at www.oneimpactbible.com and I'll get your questions on the air. Won't you join me today in changing the world? One life at a time. He's waiting for you. And until next time, I'm Terry Squires.
Hey, Jeremy, this is Dave.
Don't
Yes.
forget
How are you?
To make your one impact.
Hey, you ready to go on the air?
I am. Tell me, I didn't get any input about your station.
This is David Yanez with Rev Media Network. Just want to take a couple of minutes to talk to you about Second Look at Sports and a 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen. These programs have been with broadcasting with us for about a year now. We broadcast a 30-minute program, a second look at sports Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. And I tell you, they have been a part of a huge afternoon growth from 3 to 5 p.m. that has been a blessing to see on the stats. We've seen these numbers just growing. We have a lot of listeners listening between those time slots, and it's a huge blessing to see that these shows are touching people. Now, a 60-second look at sports has been used on our music channel, our sermon channel, our talk radio channel. These three channels broadcast 24/7, and we have these 60-second slots that we throw them in throughout the day. So almost after every show and after almost every broadcast that we have, even other commercials, you'll hear Dr. Dwight Allen, and you hear some old 60-second look at sports, and you hear the current ones, and we just mix them up and throughout all the channels that we have on the station. And it's a blessing because we're seeing people touched, and being a sports fan that I am. And you've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily, 24/7, on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and we have Jeremy Reynolds on the line. How are you doing, Jeremy?
I'm doing great, David. I'm all the way in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, my, that's a far way. Hey, I think I've gone through Albuquerque a couple of times going to Los Angeles, so it's quite a drive from where I'm at. I'm in Houston.
Yeah, it's a great city to be in. Of course, in October of each year, we have the International Balloon Fiesta as well.
Oh, really? I bet that's real colorful there.
It's really cool. People come from all over the world.
Awesome. So, Jeremy, tell us just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll jump into all the things that you're doing in your book.
Well, absolutely. The book tells a lot about what I do, but as some of the listeners may quickly learn or hear, I'm not from America originally. I'm from England, not New England, but jolly old England. I gave my life to the Lord in 1976 when I was 18. I felt like God was calling me to come across to America. So in 1978, I came across to America with $50 in my pocket and a one-way ticket. Just felt like God wanted me to do that, and ended up in Orlando, Florida, and didn't know what I was doing, really, but just felt like I was trying to obey God. And there I came, all the way across, and of course my mother, who was horrified I'd become saved, and also was not too happy I'd emigrated to the colonies either. She basically said, you know, hey, you've made your bed, you can lie in it. We didn't make up afterwards.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, I had found about a minister and his wife in Orlando, and I told them my story. And so they had a nice house back in 1978 in Orlando. So you can just think, you know, with a time delay, you know, I was suffering from jet lag. And so I had, of course, because they were English, I had the traditional cup of tea when I arrived. But it's not like I got from Miami to Orlando, David. I had it cost me $20. That was the day, right? You know, you can get from Miami to Orlando in $20.
Wow.
On the Air Florida, which of course is no longer going. And I came to the minister's house, and you know, I was tired, you know, sort of scared because I felt like I was obeying God. But tired and scared all the same. So these folks looked at me and said, hey, Jeremy, I can't even imitate your English accent now. They said, God's blessed us. Our faith has got us where our faith has got us. You're not going to sponge off us. You better pray. Oh. And so I really, again, didn't know what I was doing. I had a visitor's visa, so I couldn't work legally. It didn't work. And a couple of days later, David, I was on the way to North Carolina to be with a bunch of Pentecostal Holy Rollers for the summer. That was the beginning of my journey in the States.
Wow. What year did this all start again?
It began in 1978 when I was 20.
Oh, my goodness.
So I gave my life to the Lord in 76 when I was 18.
Wow. So Holy Rollers in Carolinas. So tell us about that.
Well, I was scared, you know. Again, this is a bunch of wild Pentecostal Holy Rollers, and their idea of having a good time was to preach, not prepare, because you know, they wanted the Holy Ghost, as I like to say, to take charge. And it was very funny because we had tent revivals. We had Bible study every morning, street witnessing every afternoon, And at night, we had long, long Pentecostal Holy Roller times, you know, evening church service. And then that was probably, you know, maybe a three-hour service. And so they used to, like, pounce on people. And so, you know, the minister in charge, who was a wild hick Cajun from Monroe, Louisiana, he would, like, grab one of us. It was a bunch of about 80 young folks, you know, who were there going around the state sharing Jesus for that this summer. And he used to have me come out and speak. He used to laugh at my English accent. Why laugh at my English accent now? And so apparently he told me a while later, he had a woman come up to him and say, "Pat, I want that guy from England to speak this evening." And so the guy in charge, Pat Hayes, he goes, "Well, you must like what he has to say. He'd like to ask me, like, for a few evenings." So she said, "No, I don't understand a word of what he says. It's just the way he says it." So hopefully you and our listeners all over the world, hopefully that won't be the case. Hopefully I'm not garbling too fast. Hopefully I'm enunciating properly. And you'll understand everything I'm saying.
Oh, amen. 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 So you yourself, tell everybody the type of ministry that God has thrusted you into.
Very, very poor ministry. You know, I was brought up in upper middle class England, and didn't really know anything about the needy, alcoholism, drug abuse, the homeless, mental illness. In fact, you know, as I was going around town, I grew up in South England, I would see what was called council houses, David, which was like our equivalent of a Section 8 housing.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother sort of taught me, like, to sort of look down on these folks. You know, they had, like, ugly houses. I mean, they were, like, gray gates and some nasty. And I didn't know there was real reasons why folks lived there. And I'd never been homeless in my life, so I came again across America. And I felt, and I'm getting to what you asked me in a minute, I felt God wanted me in ministry. I failed to see that somehow it's between the time that God calls you. It doesn't mean you have to give up everything and jump right into ministry right then. It may be a calling for right then, or it could be a calling for a few years down the road, all right?
Yeah, that's true.
I used to tell people back in 78, 79, 80, I've been called into ministry. It's your duty to support me. And not a good attitude and not the right thing to say. As a result, I ended up homeless, David, back in 81, early 82. My ex-wife and kids, some friends in Titusville, Florida, said, "Well, hey, you know what, we'll take care of you," to my ex and the kids, "but when Jeremy gets himself together and gets a good attitude, then we'll consider taking care of him and helping him out too."
Wow.
So back at the end of January, I think it was, 82, I found myself homeless on the border of Mexico and Texas. Very scary. And to give you an example, I slept on a fiberglass mattress for one night behind the restaurant and closed the evening, scared, spitless, and I didn't have any money for a hotel. You know, there's a hotel just opposite, and it said like $12 or $15 for the night. I was like three or four bucks shy. I called the church, bring like pastor, priest, reverend, rabbi, whoever answered, and said, "Sure, son, you can come up here." I said, "Well, how far is it?" He goes, "About 5 miles from where you're at." You know what, David? That to me could have been 500 miles. I was exhausted. I was tired. I was stressed. And so I just began suffering that fiberglass mattress. Consequently, and, you know, having a skip a little bit here, a few months later, I ended up in Santa Fe, New Mexico. By that time, I had told God I would do what he wanted, not him supply the needs, not do what I wanted and ask him to bless my plans. And so in August of 1982, I opened up a ministry there in Santa Fe, New Mexico, called His Place Coffee House. Again, it was like in the days of coffee houses when, you know, the hippies and the coffee houses, you know, didn't really know what I was doing. I just knew I wanted to share Jesus. But you know what, David? I began giving away cold Cokes, burritos, tamales and stuff. Didn't know if you give away food, the word spreads very quickly in the homeless community.
Oh, right? I bet, right?
So God showed me through that. He had a ministry for me with the homeless. I did that ministry for 4 years, almost. Took 4 days off in 4 years. Got two front teeth punched out by a drunk. still hadn't learned my lesson because I resigned at ministry. And again, I told God, David, never tell God, ask him, right?
That's true.
And I said, God, I will do anything except, never say that because God has a temptation. I said, I'll do anything except run or start a ministry for the homeless. But guess what? I took a month or so off, 2 months, and heard about a property in Albuquerque, New Mexico, which had been used for drug alcohol rehab ministry, a Catholic charismatic ministry. And it was vacant. It closed down about 8 months before. At this time, God had instilled some common sense in me, and I opened up that ministry, not knowing anything still, back in mid-'82, just wanting to serve the Lord and serve the entire homeless family, which by which I mean husbands, wives, and kids, single men and kids, single moms and kids.
Hmm.
I didn't intend for it to be around a long time. Well, for me, it'd be there a long time, but of course, that was 86, and 27 years later, next month, guess where I'm still at?
Wow.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. And along the way, I got a bachelor's, master's, and PhD.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, during this whole time, I'm sure you have some amazing testimonies of some of the things that happened. Can you share a couple of those things?
Absolutely. But if I began, you know, all I wanted to do was share Jesus. I ended up having a cook a little bit, keep books, which I was lousy at. And I just wanted to share the Lord. So back between 1986, and all this is in my book, was on my new book, back between 1986 and 1990, the group from a zero budget to a budget of about $350,000 a year, $360,000. And that's a very fast growth. But, you know, expenses were going down to the income that came in. So I made a public plea. And, of course, sometimes when you make a public plea, that can be a blessing. But sometimes people really get to understand why you make a plea. And so back in mid-1990, the headlines one morning in the local paper, the Journal, says, shelter runs by seat of the pants finances. That was an expression I had used, but probably wasn't what I wanted to see above the fold in the morning paper in Albuquerque. So, again, God was good. We expanded our board. We got a CFO. And so that was the beginning of things happening.
Mm.
And since then, David, between then and now, and we still don't take any government money because we're a ministry before anything else, and our yearly budget is over $4 million a year.
Wow.
But it's where we're at now. But again, to return to what you asked me, we have some wonderful stories that transform lives because we're all about, David, creating relationships. We're not against anything. You know, so many people who name the name of Jesus are against us or against that. Well, we'll let God judge, and we'll do the loving, all right?
Amen.
So over the years, we've had some wonderful stories that transform lives, and just one comes to mind. We had a guy come in about 15, 16 years ago, and now he works for us. He was a chronic alcoholic. His alcoholism was so bad that he woke up on a bus one day in Albuquerque, back in about 1991, 1992, and his memory was gone. Didn't know where he was and what was going on. He knew where he was because he looked at a newsstand and saw the name of the paper, Albuquerque Journal. So he figures, oh, I'm in Albuquerque. So he went to the local mental health clinic because he was sick. He got himself together. And over the years, he has gotten off smoking, gotten off drinking, committed his life to Jesus, and now is a faithful employee of Joy Junction.
Mm.
And that's just possible. Another lady who works for us also, you know, obviously only a small number of those who come to our doors end up working for us. But another lady comes to mind. This is a woman that had been drinking half a gallon, I'll hold your birthday day, half a gallon of vodka a day.
Oh, just my gosh.
Half a gallon. Her liver, I'm sure, was totally tickled, right?
My gosh.
Yeah, and so she was staying under a tractor trailer bed in the North Valley of Albuquerque, okay? And so one day it rained, and so the tractor trailer was parked on mud, and so it rolled, but basically it rolled over her bladder, you know, over her thigh. So she needed a place to recuperate and rehab. And so she got sent to Joy Junction. That was a very angry lady, you know, for a variety of reasons. And so one day she came to stay, was angry at the world, angry at her parents, angry at her, just angry at life, okay? One of the things that now is one of our staff, this was 7 or 8 years ago, so she throws a tray of breakfast food at the staff person. So our resident manager says, you know what, Lisa? You need to do a choice. You can get into our recovery program, we can hit the road now. But you know what Lisa decided to do? She decided to get into the recovery program. It's a faith-based recovery program. She gave her life to Jesus, and now it's going out around the streets on the outreach team, and doing some other things as well, helping to share the love of Jesus to those who are in need, just like she was. So those, you know, two stories that come to mind. In addition to that, we also have what we call the Lifeline of Hope. You know, for some years, we have been wanting to do like a mobile outreach.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people, sometimes through an agency, a ministry, a mission, they're really scared. And sometimes people are not ready to change the way they live. You just can't let them stop on the streets, all right?
Yeah.
So we prayed for a chance to do a mobile ministry. So one day a supporter called me, and he says, okay, you have your phone with you? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, go to this eBay site, or go to this eBay page. And it was an eBay page for a lunch truck in West Palm Beach, Florida. He said, do you like it? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, I want to buy it for you. So he bought this lunch truck for us. He flew myself and a colleague out to West Palm Beach, and we drove that lunch truck back. We called it the Lifeline of Hope. And every day, that Lifeline of Hope truck is going out to, you know, to give encouragement, to give hope, to give Bibles, blankets, hot food, a sack lunch, water, socks, underwear. And we go to a lot of the hotels in Albuquerque. You and me probably don't even think about for most days, that you definitely wouldn't want to stay in. We just give some encouragement to these folks. We just let them know that Jesus cares.
Mm.
We also have a nighttime outreach, because obviously, even though we're the biggest agency for the homeless in New Mexico, we can take as many as 300 people every night. We still have to turn away some folks at night. So some people just don't fit into the sort of mission environment.
True.
Okay?
Very true.
We go out. We have another van that goes out for an hour and a half, 2 hours a night. We take out blankets, sleeping bag, a sandwich, you know, some water. One night, in fact, Lisa was out. The lady I just talked to about who drank the vodka. And she meets a guy in an early, like a nasty, run-down area of Albuquerque. And he goes, Lisa, do you have a Bible? She's like, sure. So he gives him the Bible off the truck, off the van. And he says, well, are you busy? She's like, well, yeah, no, but what do you have in mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, well, I can't read. Can you read the Bible to me? So on the corner of that road, you know, like about 3 o'clock in the morning, Lisa and this guy turned into church. And she was able to read him, you know, like the first part of John's gospel, which to me was really cool.
So we do
all sorts of stuff like that. But we're currently feeding about 10,000 meals plus a month at Joy Junction, and an additional 6,000 meals or so on the mobile feeding room.
Wow. That's amazing. Now besides food, besides shelter, besides clothing, what else do the homeless need? I mean, you mentioned something that you said encouragement. I think that's a big thing. But what else do you feel that they need?
Oh, water, blankets, sleeping bags, and basically everything you and me would need, these folks need. And what I found sadly is that Christians sometimes we can judge so much. It's almost like, you know, swearing the Bible. But he who has been forgiven much should forgive much. Sometimes we cannot be forgiving. We can judge so much. Well, when we trot glibly or we trot out Bible verses so casually in such a glib fashion, well, you know what the Bible says? If he shall not work, he shall not eat. Hallelujah. Yeah, and we say, yeah, I know. And we say it without thinking. So what the homeless need is people to love them and to make friends with them.
Amen.
That doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean everybody is called to go out on the streets. But what it does mean is, at the very least, maybe if you pass a homeless man or woman in the streets, don't just go, well, thank God, I'm glad that's not me. Well, it may be you one day. Don't judge him so much. It may be you. In my car, I carry a number of $5 McDonald's gift cards. And that $5, because then I don't give them money. Their account be misspent. That $5 will enable them, you know, to get a burger or two, some fries and coffee. And it's just an extension of God's love.
Mm. That's amazing. That's amazing. You know, I spent about 2 summers in the streets just going and ministering to the homeless when I was earlier in my life in my ministry. And I tell you, I'll never trade those days. Just being a blessing to them, feeding them, but also trying to get to know why they're there, and just trying to understand how I can be a blessing to them. And I learned so much from them. Just ministering to them. There are a lot of people just in bad situations, and you know, they're just down, really down, really depressed. And they're encouraged when you bring them something and spend time with them. And it was amazing.
Yeah, they really are. And I think also I like to share this with Frank. See, you know, we'll look at a guy who's overtly drunk in the street, or somebody gets strung out. And again, it's like, well, drunk, alcoholic. And we almost like the austerity we pass by on the other side of the road. We should be the good Samaritan, right?
Yeah. Definitely. What we
often don't think is, if I see you, David, drunk, I want to make sure you get okay. I want to make sure you have some food, you know, to help you get sober. But what I want to do is I want to find out the reasons behind you getting drunk. You may be an alcoholic, but what was it in your life that was so horrible? Of course, you don't want to down your life. Of course, you don't want to forget. You either, you know, you take a hit of meth or coke, or you keep on drinking. But what was it? And if I can get to the root of the issue, then we can deal with the issue why you became an alcoholic. Then we can help you get back on your feet into mainstream community life. And toward that end, we have a faith-based recovery program, which is basically like a Jesus Eyes version of the 12 steps. It's based on the Tim Dollar House Life Recovery Bible, which is an awesome, awesome Bible. Every verse stated is linked to a concept or precept of recovery. And so that's a 9-month program that we do. And at the end of that, you know, we have a big graduation. We give them a special meal. And we really have a time where someone can walk up and they can walk the stage. You know, I have an undergrad, a master's, and a PhD. So I've walked the stage 3 times. I've attempted and completed a lot of stuff in my life, which I'm proud. But just saying, if you were 55, 56, I'm 55 now, heavens forbid. I just sometimes think, if I had gotten to my age and nothing, and hadn't achieved anything, and everything I looked back at was drunk, alcoholic, drug addict, and I knew everybody in my family despised me and thought, he's a failure. It would just cause me to sink down even more. So having that graduation time for us is very, very important, because it was sort of a sense of dignity, a sense of self-worth.
Yes, definitely. It's
not to forget. And, you know, that certificate we give in the academic world, you know, it's worth nothing. But to them, it's worth $1 million. That's what we want to do. Not to judge, not to condemn, just to say, you know what, we are here as an extension of the helping hand of the love of Jesus, and we just want to pass on that love to you in the best way we know and are able.
You know, I ran into a homeless friend that I met. His name was Eddie. I helped him get into a home, helped him get back on his feet. And I was working at I started working at a bank, and I was coming back from lunch going through downtown Houston. And I seen someone asking people for money, and everybody was turning around from him. And then he came walking straight towards me, and my friend that was with me at lunch started to walk away. And I'm like, "Hey, Eddie!" And I gave him a big old hug. I'm like in this suit and everything. I'm hugging this homeless man in the streets. Everybody just stood quiet. They just took quiet look, and I was like, "Where have you been?" I just was so overwhelmed with love for the man, and I'm like, "Well, what's been going on?" And he told me that he hit another bad patch, and he started doing the normal things he normally do. I go, "Now, what we tell you about cycles? You need to get out of that cycle and start putting the Lord in you." And then so I just hugged him and stuff and talked to him. Do you know when he left, people were just putting money in his pockets as he was walking by. They just like they seen that he was okay. You can trust this one, I guess. And they were just, and I just told him, "Look, I'm gonna meet you," and I took him to another shelter when I got off work. I picked him up and took him somewhere, and I spent a couple of months just checking on him. But, yeah, it's like people kind of think it's taboo, and they don't want to even be near it, but it's there.
I'm scared, and one of the things I believe God has called me to is to make the place, what I call, you know, I renamed the homeless, the invisible people, because even though we see them, they're like sort of invisible, and sometimes we see them so much, we're just like, oh, homeless, whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's why one of the things I do is write a number of books.
Yes, let's jump into that.
And I tell the story of some of the people that we helped get back on their feet again.
Well, tell us about A Shelter Life, Take It to the Streets. We've got about 5 minutes here.
Yes, and they can do that by going to, that has a .net title on the internet. And basically, it's my story. It tells a lot more of the story that we shared at the beginning of the show, and also tells some little stories of people who have come to Joy Junction, including Lisa and Harold, the two I shared with you about before. And just stories about why they sank into their homelessness, and how they came to the hotel and met Jesus and got back on their feet again. That book, of course, is available on Amazon, at the website. Also, our website for Joy Junction is joyjunction.org.
Okay.
And we just want people, you know, again, to know the story. And also, I think my life, all the mistakes I have made, you know, being homeless myself, and just telling God, just asking God, we want people to know that, you know, you can be small, I'm 5'4", but however small you are, wherever you're from, if you speak funny like I do, if you're from England, the Lord can still use you. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your sex. It doesn't matter who or what. All that matters is your availability.
Well, you know,
you're available and you say, God, use me, he will use you.
Hey, amen, amen. And that's something that you don't see a lot of times is your ministry started from nothing. From zero,
yeah.
You started with zero in your pocket,
absolutely.
And it's like if God could do that with you, imagine someone that has funds and that has where they think they have everything in life and they just pour it all out to God. Because I think God used you because you poured out everything that was Jeremy out and you let God pour everything that was God in.
Yeah, you bet. And of course, I've made many mistakes along the way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, a slew of mistakes, but also hoping. We really want people to connect with us, David, on Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at Joy Junction.
Okay.
And our Facebook page is facebook.com/JJABQ. Then, of course, if they forget all of that, they can go to joyjunction.org and get all the direct links. And, of course, there's also a link to the website to buy the book.
Oh, absolutely. Give us your website one more time.
It is joyjunction.org or a sheltered life.
Amen. And that's some interesting stories there that you're going to have in that book. You're going to encourage people. And can you give, before we close, can you give people out there some encouragement and why they need to get involved with the homeless?
Well, I think, you know, as a local community, we need to do that. And, of course, I think it's directly from God's word. You know, in as much as you've done it for the least of these, you've done it unto me, right? I mean, if we name the name of the Lord, we have a responsibility to love those in prison, to love the homeless, to love the kids, to love the needy. And if we don't, I think shame on us for calling ourselves a Christian.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Well, you're encouraging me, even as I build and do my ministry. You have encouraged me tremendously today, my brother. Thank you for being a part of our show. We really enjoyed you.
Well, you bet. I hope you and all the listeners will go on to facebook.com/JJABQ and we'll sign up to be our fans and friends and all that stuff.
All right. God bless you. Take care, my brother.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. That was Mr. Jeremy Reynolds, and that is why his name is spelled a little different. Instead of an O, it has an A, because he's from jolly old England. And he's a great guy. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you were able to just take in what he was saying and understanding that there's a reason. There's a reason that we have been given much, and that is because we need to be a blessing to many. We need to be able to bless those that are in need. We can't ignore that. We can't walk around it. We can't make excuses for it, but we need to be a blessing. You can write me at Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can also email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. We'll catch you next time on The Midwatch. Thank you for listening. Thank my guest, Jeremy Reynolds, for being a part of the broadcast. God bless.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.